book is suffering for righteousness' sake, for suffering for doing what is right, but even more than that, suffering because what baptism is, identifying yourself with Jesus, suffering because you're identifying yourself with Jesus. Because when Jesus came, they identified him as not being one of them. The Pharisees, the authorities of the day, they said, "You're not like us." They were even jealous that he had more authority in his teaching. He taught with authority. He performed miracles and put power on display. And so they conspired against him and decided early on to kill him. Eventually they did. And he laid it all down for us. And so now when we identify with him, Peter is writing to this early church and he sees that persecution is coming, and so he speaks about the suffering that they're going to face if necessary, or if it's God's will for you. So it's not a guaranteed thing that you're going to suffer for the sake of Christ, but he sees it coming. And as we look at the world today, as we see the direction things are heading, we see that that very well could happen in our lifetime. So this message, it's important for us to grasp hold of this. And what Peter's been doing as he's been teaching is he's hitting on the same thing over and over again. And when I turned to this chapter and I saw, okay, more about suffering, my first response was, really? Again? We've been in this for a long time. I'm looking forward to being done with this book and moving on to the next study. But the Holy Spirit says, wait. Don't rush through the Word of God. Don't, as you're going through the Bible, verse by verse, don't skip over what the Holy Spirit has put down, because he's put it down here for you. And he's going to do a work in your life this morning if you're willing to listen. He'll do a work in my life if I'm willing to listen, even as I speak. So we're going to read right now, and then we're going to ask the Lord to work in our hearts. So let's all stand up. Let's all rise to our feet this morning as we read God's Word. Make sure the blood is flowing. We're wide awake. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 12. Dear friends, or beloved, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may also rejoice with great joy when his glory is revealed. If you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in having that name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who disobey the gospel of God? And if a righteous person is saved with difficulty, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while doing what is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would work in us through your word. Lord, we thank you for your word, for the Spirit that inspired it, Lord Jesus, your Spirit. And now, as your word meets with your Spirit who indwells each one of us, lives in each one of us who believes in you, Lord, do your work. Lord, cut us wide open. Let us see ourselves as you see us. And as we leave here, Lord Jesus, draw us closer to yourself. Help us to let go of the things we've been holding on to, Lord, and let what each one of us needs to see in our own lives, let that rise to the top so we can confess it to you and surrender it. And then let us hold more tightly to you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning, hey, Derek, if you could turn down the gain on my volume a little bit. It's kind of tinny. A little bit of an echo. Thank you. Still hear me okay? Everybody? All right. Yeah. That's usually my joke, but I'm going to charge you for that one. All right, so our first point this morning is a Christian's faith will be tested. If you're a Christian, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, the Lord wants you to know that your faith is going to be tested. suffering comes, when persecution comes, and he calls this a fiery ordeal. Remember, in the first century, and all throughout the last 2,000 years, Christians have been burned alive because of their faith. And he's not just being allegorical here. He literally is talking about Christians in his lifetime who were burned alive because of their faith. Think of the Emperor Nero, who burned Christians to light his garden in the lifetime of Peter. It was the Emperor Nero who, under his reign, when Peter was put to death, when Paul was beheaded for their stand, for identifying with Jesus Christ. But Christians are to have a different understanding. He has already said earlier in this book, get your mind in the game. Have sober thinking. Don't just be daydreaming through your life and your wanderings and your walk through this world. Understand that this world is not your home. He's already called us in this book, aliens and strangers, sojourners wandering through this place. And he says, he even uses the phrase, during your time or during your stay here on this earth. So we have this understanding that this isn't our home. So, what do we think about pain and suffering? Well, the Bible informs us from beginning to end about what we should think. First of all, we understand that pain and suffering are normal in a fallen world. The Bible tells the story, hearkening all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, of why there is pain, why there's even evil in the world. It's a result of sin in the world. Back in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sin against God, and because of their rebellion, we've inherited that rebellion. They decided they wanted to be like God. They wanted to decide things rather than let God decide things, and they rejected his rulership, forgetting that life itself is dependent upon a relationship, a right relationship to God. And so sin crept in. Corruption crept in. You could ask everyone around the world about the fact, the simple fact, that suffering exists. And everybody, whether regardless of their walk in life or their religion or philosophy, would just say, yeah, there's illness, there's death, bad things happen. Murphy's Law. It's not just an Irish thing. It exists in every country. If it's going to go bad, it eventually will. It'll happen. But we don't respond to it as in saying, well, you know, it's karma. You did something bad, so you deserve something bad to happen to you. We don't believe in karma. We're not fatalistic. We don't believe that, well, you know, easy come, easy go. That was meant to happen. That's not our response. Rather, we understand that when death happens, when illness happens, that God is using that to remind us that we need a Savior, to remind us that there is sin in this world. Both Christian and non-Christian alike suffer the same ills. So a lot of people are peddling a false gospel that says if you just trust in Jesus, everything will be fine. Everything will go well for you. Do not believe that lie. In fact, Christians, Peter is saying, need to have the opposite stance, that when you're going to follow Christ, it's going to be more difficult for you. So when you trust in the gospel message, it's not so that you will have a hunky-dory life. It's so that you'll be saved from an eternal punishment of hell that we all deserve because of sin, separation from God. It's so that you can have life, the life of our Savior Jesus Christ. And when you remember what our Savior did and what kind of life he lived, the perfect life for which he was persecuted, for which he suffered, the cross upon which he was nailed, that becomes the picture of your life. And so we have this different understanding. There is conflict between good and evil. And that conflict that began in Genesis is between God and Satan. It predates our creation. The people of God are now at conflict of the people of an unbelieving world. Even in Genesis 3, God describes Abel's sacrifice, which Scripture says was offered out of faith, and he rejects Cain's sacrifice. 1 John chapter 3 describes, in verse 12, says that Cain then got so angry that he killed Abel. Why? The reason given is because Cain's works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. So here's this conflict between good and evil, between the people of God and the people who are rejecting God. And simply for standing up and taking a stand on righteousness, for trusting God, for obeying God, Abel suffers and is killed. So we understand that pain and suffering are normal in a fallen world. They're because of sin. We all suffer for it. closer with Jesus, this idea of being able to enter into the sufferings and understand that we're following the footsteps of Jesus Christ as he suffered for us. It is a privilege to be counted among those who enter into the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Paul describes this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, and chapter 3, verse 10, when he says in chapter 1, it's a gift. If you were to suffer for Christ, it is a gift. It's given to you. And in chapter 3, he says he longs to have that kind of fellowship with Jesus, to enter into his suffering. I don't relate to that very well, to be honest. I'm not standing up here and saying, hey, I've been there, I've done that, be like me. I mean, the people that organizations like Open Door and Voice of the Martyrs encounter, and the importance for us to be aware of these organizations or to be in communication with people around the world who are suffering, is so that we're their students. We're watching them live it, and there's something we can learn. It humbles us. The apostles even praised God for having been considered worthy, Acts chapter 5 says, to be considered worthy to suffer shame for his name, Acts 5:41, after they've been dragged in front of the Sanhedrin for preaching the gospel message. And their shame. Today, you know, we've talked about cancel culture. What they're talking about today, people being canceled, whether it's an actual gig, a venue, you're putting on a concert, they're pulling the plug on your job. That's shaming. We are now, our culture is being transformed into a shame culture. We haven't really been one for the last couple hundred years, but now we're entering into one. Most of the world has been one. Jesus grew up in a shame culture where if you did something bad, you would bring shame upon your family. The idea of shame was understood. But Jesus took our shame upon him on the cross. And when we enter into that, when we suffer shame for his name, we are becoming more like Jesus Christ in that aspect, who took our shame on himself. But we find that we are not alone if we suffer shame for his name. Remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, those three Jewish boys who were hauled into captivity into Babylon. They're ordered to bow down to that Babylonian idol. They refuse. The penalty for refusing is being thrown into the furnace of fire. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, is so angry, he turns up the dial and makes it 7 times hotter than ever. And they're thrown in. The fire is so hot that the men who throw them in are consumed by the flames. And then when he hears a report that those three men are still in the fire walking around, in fact, there's not three of them, there's four of them. Who do you think was with them? In first service, Dodi Mead's little grandson called out, God! I went over and gave him a high five. That Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus, existing before he put on flesh, was with them walking in the fire. They were not alone in the furnace of great affliction, and neither will we if God calls us into that furnace. Jesus promises to never leave us. And remember, as we've mentioned before, when the church is persecuted, Jesus is being persecuted. That's a strange concept, but don't miss it. When Saul, remember the Apostle Paul, before his name was changed, he was Saul the Pharisee who persecuted the church. He's on the road to Damascus, and Jesus appears to him in all his brilliant glory. And when Saul asks who he is, Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? That when the church is persecuted, Jesus considers himself persecuted. So is Jesus persecuted today? By Jesus' own words, the answer to that question is yes. When you suffer for his name's sake, he's being persecuted. Because he is our head. We are his body. We are one with him. That means you're not alone. What does that mean? It means you're not alone. Second, we rejoice because we understand that we will share in Jesus' glory. That's what he says. We share in his sufferings so that we may also rejoice. that while for now there's this big lumping in, but don't think that persecution can't come here, because it has arrived on our shores. It's already here in very small snippets. So get your mind in the game now so that you won't be surprised when it comes. Be prepared. And when it comes, when you feel that pressure, decide ahead of time that you're not going to be ashamed of Jesus, because he wasn't ashamed of you. Peter lived this out. Now, Peter says, don't try to get out from under the pressure that will come. Rather, stand up for Jesus. Do what is right. Don't go with the crowd. Do you think Peter understood what pressure was like? have no faith. If you do not put it to work, then James is going to say, where is it? Because it should be visible.